into the pay window and cash it. Kyle Busch wins at Las Vegas.
Look at that team celebrating a big victory for Kyle Busch Motorsport.
Kyle has now won here in his hometown in Trucks, Xfinity, and Cup.
The garage is open. Welcome to another episode of the EG3 show. My name is Eddie Greeter III. All about the latest in NASCAR, Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports, or you can call it the three national series in all of NASCAR. You just heard Vince Welch on the call, FS1, the last half lap. Kyle Busch finally getting that elusive truck win that he's been looking for, but it does not come with a little help from a lap car. But other than that, between that and Christopher Bell and Kyle Larson, not much happening going on with exciting racing. But of course, in the Cup Series yesterday, this is the reaction episode of the EG3 show with you guys here tonight. And the Harvicking continues on. I know that word came from Atlanta last week from the Fox Crew broadcast team, but I'm going to carry that name all the way to Las Vegas because he was doing, once again, the Harvicking on the field once again at Las Vegas last week. That, I have the rundown of that here momentarily, but Kevin Harvick coming out of the box on a complete tear and has this field going spinning in circles. And not only that, Harvick now and Rodney Childers go to a track where they have had multiple success at this week, Phoenix, which could be another nightmare, not only for the competition, but the fans. The fans are starting to speak out, and I've came on to a lot of disbelief on my Twitter feed yesterday of how boring the races is. I'm going to touch on that when we hit to the Cup side, but right now we're going to stay with the Camping World Truck Series and Kyle Busch. Again, I always mention this on the podcast, Kyle Busch is going to be a factor every time he enters in one of these races, the trucks, and especially the Xfinity Series. But Kyle Busch, I mentioned, scoring his 50th Camping World Truck Series victory over the weekend at Vegas to kick off a triple-header weekend last week. And Brett Moffitt was in position to double down to go back-to-back. But not before a lap car ruined Mike Michel DeSteer. I might have been pronouncing his last name wrong, but whatever his name is, got in the way of Brett Moffitt. And not only that, made contact with the leader late in this race. Kyle Busch makes the pass on Moffitt to the high side. Johnny Sauter was on suit from there, and it was a wrap for Brett Moffitt and the Hattori Racing bunch, who have also come out of the box strong in the Truck Series. But unfortunately, they gotta see another Kyle Busch win again. I gotta tell you, I have pleaded my case on the show about lap cars getting in the way, or trucks, wherever you want to call it, whether it's in the Truck Series, Xfinity Series, especially in the Cup Series, lap trucks, they should be if I had a say in it, they should be pulled over to the garage and have no effect whatsoever. It's kind of got to be like these championship races like last year where Kyle Larson gracefully backed off. I mean, yes, he could have maybe won the race at Homestead like he could have multiple times at Homestead, but last year is a prime example of that. In the past, we've seen non-championship contenders let the championship drivers have at it. Kyle Larson's a perfect example of that. He might have had a faster car than both Truex and Rowdy Kyle Busch. For those of you just tuning in to the program or have been, this is your first time listening to the EG3 show podcast, But outside of that, this is getting ridiculous. You have Brett Moffitt going probably for scoring his first back-to-back wins of his NASCAR Cup career, most likely, in this Michelle the Steer, or whatever his last name is. Sorry, I'm butchering your name, but come on, man. You got to move out of the way. These lap trucks, lap cars, they are costing. This is not even discussion. They should be moved out of the way or get off the freaking racetrack. That's what I'm trying to say here, and I've pleaded my case many times on the show that these lap trucks or cars affect these races, and it did affect this one for sure. Brett Moffitt caught not only that, but there goes 5 points right out of the window. I know Brett Moffitt won last week, but those 5 points could be really key. It's very early in the truck season, but that hurts. And Brett Moffitt, rightfully so, should be pissed off at the lap truck, because you're a lap and a half away from winning the race. Not only that, but scoring another victory. And right now, they are one. This organization right now is on fire right now. I know they started off slow at Daytona, where they were involved in that late wreck there. They were running in the top 10 at that point also. Moffitt finished third. That's got to be a disappointment for that team. I know they wanted that win badly, but these lap trucks, they got to move out of the way. I'm sorry. Or get off the freaking racetrack. Go park your truck in a garage somewhere and let these leaders have at it. This was a wild race right down to the waiting laps in this race. Kyle Busch had no business winning this race, but you can thank Michelle D for doing what he did right there. Not only that, make contact with the leader. Right, make contact with the leader that allowed Kyle Busch to catch up to him, and Sauter also in hot pursuit also. So I don't know what the deal with these lap trucks or cars or whatever, but they have to get out of the way. You're 10 laps down, you definitely got to park it, or you're a lap or two down, you got to move out of the way. And this is the issue with the cup guys also for some of these races in the past. You know, they race hard. For a prime example, Ryan Newman, I know they were going for trying to get themselves in the playoffs, but they had no chance last year to get transferred in to the next round. Chase Elliott trying to get around Ryan Newman, and allow Kyle Busch to swing around. Again, there's the common denominator in this little segment here tonight. Kyle Busch goes outside of Chase Elliott, and Elliott should, and he regrets that he should have did more. He should have did more, but he had to deal with a 39 Chevy of Ryan Newman at that point in the postseason last year, and it comes back again. I know it's not in the NASCAR rule book that says move out of the way, but if you have any freaking common sense, move your ass out of the way and let the leaders have at it. He was not even going to win this race anyway. Multiple laps down and still have effect in this race. Come on. Get your butt off the racetrack. Let the leaders have their saying it, but instead we got to include the leaders and you in this race, and that honestly really isn't really good racing. That's just, hey, let's just get it out of the way and have effect in this race, or get your sponsor in the race in the middle of the broadcast, or towards the end, I should say. But that, come on, I mean, this is the point. I know beginning, middle, but this is the point of the race where the fans will love to see the actual leaders duke it out to the end of the finish, and to have a lap car right in the middle of it. Not only that, but in the middle of the way, that just uncalled for in my books, but costly for Moffitt. And you know how these points add up towards the end of the year, especially with the postseason. Moffitt's team already locked in to the NASCAR Truck Series playoffs in the fall. This could have been more to the bank here. Of course, Sauter has a win already, and Johnny Sauter off to a torrid start after three races, as the Truck Series is going to get a few weeks off, as they'll be racing later on this month. Top 10, Kyle Busch scoring his monumental 50th Truck Series win Johnny Sauter, Brett Moffitt, and quietly, Grant Enfinger finishing the fourth spot. How about the Iceman? Stuart Friesen rounds out the top five in that. Not only that, he led a few laps in this race on Friday night. That was great to see. By 50, this 52 team is really coming on strong, building off that momentum from late last season. All of a sudden, we see this 52 truck up in the mix each and every weekend. He's going to be a factor on these short tracks coming up. Ben Rhodes, excuse me, I skipped over Dalton Sargeant, who had a wonderful evening in the sixth spot. Ben Rhodes, seventh. Cody Coughlin, eighth. Justin Fontaine, ninth. How about Austin Hill? Right at the top 10 in a Stratosphere 200 from Vegas over the weekend. You're listening to the EG3 Show. My name is Eddie Greer, the third host of the EG3 Show, which is all about the world of NASCAR. My mantra for the EG3 Show. And at the back, a shout out to the 9th and 10th place finishers who started inside the top 20 in this race, out finishing some of these guys, like a Justin Marks, who was driving for Kyle Busch Motorsports, finished in the 11th spot. Some notables here: Noah Gregson ended up finishing 12th. Marks' teammate for the evening, Spencer Davis, running that four truck in the 13th position. Myatt Snyder came home in 15th. And then you had John Hunter Nemechek making a special appearance once again, 21st. And then Justin Haley, 28th. Matt Crafton crawling off to a slow start in 29th position. That is your look over from the Stratosphere 200 in the Truck Series last Friday. Kyle Busch putting it in the bank and rolling the 50th win of his KP World Truck Series tenure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, moving on to the Xfinity Series, where, in my opinion, we saw the best racing of the entire weekend between Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell, bringing back what they did in the offseason during the Chili Bowl and some other events as well. Christopher Bell getting the first playoff point for the any Xfinity Series regular this year. Up until that point, no Xfinity Series driver won a stage yet. Christopher Bell checked that off the list for the Xfinity Series drivers, did that, but it was all Kyle Larson in this race over the weekend on Saturday, and scoring his 9th career win in the Xfinity Series. Kyle Larson, that 42 truck, not truck, but car, excuse me, for Chip Ganassi Racing. Christopher Bell started on the pole for the second consecutive week, but not only that, to finish in the runner-up position. And he was, oh, by the way, he was the highest finishing running regular at Vegas on Saturday. Kyle and Christopher put on a mammoth of a show in that first stage. That was awesome to see. Why can't all races or segments be just like that, where Kyle Larson was going for it? They were switching, treed off the lead at least three or four times in that sequence. But Bell came out on top of that top. And then after that, Kyle Larson was pretty much a factor for much of that race, scoring that win. Kyle Larson had a great weekend, dominated practice, but he did win this race as well. We take a look at the top 10. Before I do that, Christopher Bell, and a lot's been made of Christopher Bell versus the Junior Motorsports cars. And let's not forget about Cole Custer, was very fast during Saturday's race as well, times being faster than the leader. Couldn't get up there with those guys late, but he scored a top 10 finish. Cole Custer did, but a lot's been made of the showdown between a 20 and Junior Motorsports, led by Elliott Seiler, Tyler Reddick, Justin Allgaier, and those boys, Michael Annette included in that, on that team as well. But a lot's been said about Christopher Bell, and why not? Because he came in as probably the favorite, and I said it last week, to win the Xfinity Series Championship, but he's going to have to go through, most likely, those three cars and Tyler Reddick is in the championship car that William Byron won a season ago. So Reddick's been running pretty good to start off the year. Larson Bell won two. Justin Allgaier, the highest finishing junior motorsports car, up there in the third spot. Ryan Blaney did double duty over the weekend, finished fourth. Elliott Sadler up there, top five. Daniel Hemric, the consistency, quietly finishing in the sixth spot after starting in the third position. How about Brandon Jones? Man, I've been rooting for this kid after the season he had last year with Rich Hush Racing, making the move over to a little bit more better equipment with JGR, Joe Gibbs Racing. And he started 16th, was not happy with that qualifying effort, and then from the race on, he looked pretty good. So this is the type of runs that Brandon Jones needs and needs to take advantage of that solid equipment over at JGR. He's going to be a factor, so we can't count out him out yet. Brandon Jones, 7th. Tyler Reddick, your Daytona winner, finished in the 8th spot. I talked about Cole Custer earlier, 9th. And how about Spencer Gallagher rounding the top 10 in the Bowie Gaming 300, which took place back on Saturday. You're listening to, once again, the EG3 show, breaking down the Bowie Gaming 300. Some notables here for the Xfinity Series. Michael Annette finished in a 13th spot in the 5 car. And Kyle Busch did the triple header looking for that sweep. Didn't get it. Kyle Busch was not a factor in the Xfinity Series race. He finished 14th. Ryan Truex finished 15th. And then down the line here, Ryan Reed finished in the 16th spot. And then scrolling down here towards the list, Austin Cindric was in the 60 car. He only finished 34th. Dylan Lupton hit the wall hard early in this race and finished shotgun field in 40th position. That's your Boyd Gaming 300 rundown there. So there is a look at that. We take a look at the points real quick in the Xfinity Series while we're still in this section of the podcast. I had it right here. And right now, Tyler Reddick, still your points leader after three events. And actually, he's actually locked up in a tie with teammate Elliott Sadler for the points lead. So, a tie up top. The Xfinity Series standings between the Junior Motorsports Brigade, Reddick, Sadler, and then you have Chris Bell, 23 back. Allgaier, teammates to Reddick and Sadler in fourth spot. And Spencer Gallagher, fifth right now, a point ahead of Ryan Reed. So that's an interesting sequence there. Coming out of Vegas is this Spencer Gallagher, the 23 car, doing some work here early on and being consistent. Rewards him coming out of Vegas with a fifth place position. So there is the Xfinity Series top five going out of Vegas. And then for the Capable Truck Series, I mentioned Johnny Sauter early on. He continues his big lead here early in the season as they take a couple weeks off. Brett Moffitt sitting second. That gap could have been closed a little bit if he would have closed the deal, but could not thanks to silly circumstances. Grant Enfinger is third, a close second to Moffitt, a point back. Then Noah Gregson and Ben Rhodes round your top five. And that's a gaggle between second and fifth right now. Throw a blanket, and you can even throw a blanket to sixth with Stuart Friesen in the mix also. So he and that team doing some good work here early in the season. As I mentioned, their next race for the trucks will be in a few weeks, March 24th, when they head to the paperclip of Martinsville. And then a Xfinity Series and a Cup Series will be double dipping this weekend with Phoenix, with the last races in the old configuration before they do modifications to the racetrack out there in Arizona. So the Xfinity Series will kick off the weekend, followed by the Cup Series on Sunday. Now, ladies and gentlemen, now we're talking about the Cup Series now. And once again, the Harvicking saga continues. Kevin Harvick puts the belt to the field again, and he kept that whip on the field, and he, that car, I don't know what to say other than that car was flat out fast, the freaky fast of Jimmy John's. Their slogan always, because they're always so quick delivering subs, like that terminology, or like that, how I spun that. But freaky fast, once again, untouchable at Vegas, and he doubled down on the field. Not only that he dominated last week, but he had to come over here in Nevada, Sin City, and put the whipping on the field one more time. And he's going to Phoenix next week with all that momentum. I tell you, Kevin Harvick mentioned yesterday that it felt like this feels like the year that he won a championship in 2014, where he led all those laps. But then, back then, if you go look back to that year, he led all those laps, but only to win only twice, I believe, and didn't really win again until the postseason. Had that game 7 moment not only once but twice, winning Phoenix, put the whipping on them there. He had another game 7 moment that year, if I recall, at Dover, where he actually spanks the field. So Kevin Harvick, that's his mantra. When Harvick has a good car that he has right now, start off the season, he'll put the whipping to your butt, and that's what he's doing to 35-36 contenders right now. He has a grasp right now with this package or whatever they're doing. I know NASCAR made small tweaks to this year's race package for all the teams, but right now it's crystal clear. Nobody can't touch him right now, and that's bad news heading to one of the best tracks, if not the best, on Harvick's schedule, and that's Phoenix, even though he did not win a year ago at that place. He still knows how to get around us. So that's the signal is red for all the contenders right now. In Dover, he had a game 7 moment. Obviously, Phoenix, where his back was against the wall, and then won that. And then obviously, you know what happened in the championship race. Dug deep and had to hold off Ryan Newman, who didn't win a race all year that season, to capture his first ever championship with Tony Stewart. And oh, by the way, Tony Stewart won his little dirt race over the weekend as well. So Stewart Haas Racing, they have the momentum, but they seem to have their arms around this package. And when I say Stewart Haas Racing, I'm going to go ahead and just say Kevin Harvick, because, you know, Kurt Busch, he was okay yesterday. Almirola had to come from the back of the pack to establish the top 10 finish, which that was pretty good in itself. Clint Bowyer was a non-factor after having his little issue, and I'm going to have more on Clint Bowyer later on in the podcast. But man, Harvick, he has led now almost 400 laps in the last two races, 395 to be exact, and who's going to have the answer for him? It seemed look like Kyle Busch, who, him and that little team led by Adam Stevens, the crew chief, found something in the middle of stage two, and they rocketed themselves. They made a lot of passes during that race. Kyle Busch's team did, and he was on the move, yes, for a little bit there, but when Harvick was not in traffic, he put the gap on whether it's Kyle Busch, Truex, Kyle Larson, or even Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano. They got nothing on Harvick, and Kevin Harvick led 209 laps yesterday, another butt-kicking to this field. And a lot of fans, well, at least my friends on my Twitter feed, and oh, by the way, you can follow me at @ed_eddie_eg3. That is my Twitter handle, at @ed_eddie_eg3. You can find me there on Twitter. That find a lot of negatives about, well, at least for my friends' concerns, you know, the races have been boring, or the races feel different, you know, they just feel different. Or that's the common theme I've been reading the last couple of weeks, that these races feel different. Well, I understand from last week, Atlanta, all the rain in the area, or the rain that did not happen, you know, trying to battle the rain, that was a weird race. I mentioned it on the podcast last week. That was very weird. Weird and how that's all secret out, but Mother Nature, thank goodness, held off, and we were able to see the strategy that was played out by Logano and Hamlin, which did not work out. Harvick with a good car put a belt to the field there, and then same thing here. The script didn't change. Kevin Harvick gets a hold. Rodney Childers, that bunch gets a hold of the race car there, and then put a spanking on the rest of the competition. And this is bad news for everyone else. And right now, you know, Cole Pearn saying that we have some work to do. They're one of the teams that are in the ballpark. And I keep saying this for the last several weeks on the four team. This started, and Kevin Harvick made my point yesterday that this all started when the playoffs began a year ago when at Chicagoland. They found something, and they ran up front. And later on the playoffs, again, you know what happened at Texas a few months back. They beat the 78 with 15 laps to go. Harvick ran away from Martin Truex, and he at that point in time, he cashed his ticket to Homestead at that time. But going back to 2014, with all the domination in the regular season for that team, they only let one, two races in the regular season. So the question now, Brigades, is can only team that can beat the four right now is themselves, obviously, because of their past, you know, beating themselves with the pit crew. And not only that, you got to deal with the issues, the continuation of these lame pit guns that are continuing to be a factor for a few of these contenders, or I should say a few of these drivers here. This is 2 weeks in a row that we have this issue. But right now, JGR, led by Kyle Busch, you know, Kyle Larson is searching for answers. The 7-8 looking to go back to work a little bit. Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, those guys, they definitely have some homework to do. They're going to pass a test, and that test right now is the Harvick game, because right now that's all we've been talking about the last week, and some change now, and it's going to carry on into this week. That is no doubt for sure. What we're talking about here is the man that seemed to be on a mission right now, and he went on to say at Atlanta that we got to teach these young guys a lesson. He was probably tired of hearing all this young guy talk from the offseason, you know, the Ryan Blaney's, especially Chase Elliott coming through, Austin Dillon, these young guys getting the credit. But right now, the 42-year-old is still in the show right now. And not only that, but with authority on the field, when he gets a car like that, I shouldn't have to say it, but it's proven the last 2 weeks, and really ever since he's got jumped on the scene from Richard Childress Racing over to Stuart Haas. I mean, Harvick and Childress have been in harmony pretty much since the two of them were tagged for the four car, since they started at Stuart Haas Racing. They've been untouchable, and really, Kurt Busch has been good at times. Daniel Patrick was nowhere close. Clint Bowyer, his first year, I thought he was going to be decent. He wasn't that great. Second half, he showed glimpses of that. So, and now you have Eric Almirola, which was actually impressive. Bad qualifying effort in finishing the top 10. That's pretty impressive there as well. But they're nowhere close to where Harvick is still. Even with all that data sharing and whatnot, you know, getting to look at the computer data, saying, hey, we can do this right here. You know, we can be like Harvick, roll out of throttle a little bit, or, you know, go here, go there. it doesn't fit their style at all, because Harvick knows what he wants in the car, and he just puts the pedal to the metal. So Harvick swept the stages and won the race. He joins Truex now as the only two drivers now. Truex did it twice last year at this race a year ago in Kentucky. Kevin Harvick adds the name to his list now as drivers to sweep both stages and to win the race in Las Vegas. For the second year in a row, sees a driver to do that. Sweep takes both stages and win the race. And Fox, the broadcast team, swung and missed yesterday on, they thought for it was speaking, they talked to Kurt Busch that, you know, they have to wait till next year. They forgot that this track will host the opening race of the 2018 postseason this fall. They forgot about that. So they goofed up on that part there. So Kurt Busch still has another opportunity to get a win out of his home track later this fall. He'll have to wait till fall to do that. So he'll be gracious about that. But yeah, they swung and missed on that part. So I'll definitely call an eye on that. Maybe they're definitely, I know they're used to having Las Vegas being a one race deal every year, but now they got that second date and a good showing yesterday from the crowd. It's going to be another good showing when the playoffs hit. So Fox Sports, they missed the ball on that one. But Kevin Harvick, ladies and gentlemen, is the story of the weekend yet again. Back-to-back wins. The Harvicking Part 2, the movie saga, continues, folks. And we're going to dive in more into this race here in the second half of the program coming up here in just a moment. Again, social media update, www.facebook.com/EG3Show, where we'll get you all updated on what happened over the weekend. And we got some big news at the end of the episode that I want to share. So definitely stay tuned for that. But on the other side of this break, we're continuing to break down some of the bigger stories coming out of Vegas. And I'm going to look back at Clint Bowyer, or what he was doing post-Atlanta. That kind of had that set off somebody in the media last weekend. And I'm going to have my thoughts on that. But Harvick, with the win, scoring back-to-back. And not only that, for now, coming to Phoenix, he has a clear stranglehold on the stage points. EG3 Show. We'll be back after this intermission timeout. Show rolls along with our reaction episode, NASCAR Going West Part 1, kicking off a 3-race West Coast swing, Vegas, where Kevin Harvick dominated the show once again. Eddie Gritter III here with you guys tonight on the EG3 Show, which is all about the world of NASCAR, Kim World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest national series in all of motorsports, talking Vegas, which a lot of folks, my friend, said it was another boring race again. And yes, when you have one man dominating the show, Harvick, it could cause a snooze fest, but I can probably see why from my friend's point of view. Yes, because Martin Truex Jr., my favorite driver, I would have been more interested to see going back to last year a little bit and how the fans spoke out on how Truex was dominating majorities, mile and a half. And then not only that, he was pretty much a force to be reckoned with on the other tracks as well during his championship season a year ago. MTJ doing work, like I said, here to start off the year. He's right in the ballpark, but nowhere close to Harvick Zipka right now, because he's creating his own planet right now, and nobody can't catch him right now. That's just clear cut, cut and dry right there, folks. So, you know, going to that aspect of it, yeah, I could have read, and still Kevin Harvick would have been up front leading those a lot of laps there, because there was no slowing down except for the pit stops, because that right now is only beating Kevin Harvick against the pit crew and themselves if they get their heads right and perform like they have been doing. This is, if this can he continue at this pace? If he continues at this pace, there could be no telling how this could end up. He could easily be on that little Martin Truex Jr. run where Martin Truex last year winning 4 races in the regular season and went on a tear in the playoffs. I can see Harvick doing that, but again, you know, he can have fast race cars, but again, everybody got to be executing all together. Everybody has to be in sync, and everybody has to do their jobs the right way. But right now, the speed that Rodney Childress is doing, tuning up on that race car, you know, Rodney Childress says he hates to lose, and right now, he should be happy at the results from yesterday because he and his driver are putting an ass-kicking on this field. And I don't know how many times I've said this already, at least probably 6-7 times already. That's just plain truth right now because nobody's close and everybody's now trying to figure out what to do, what they're doing, or what speed they're trying to do. But right now, the Fords right now, specifically Kevin Harvick, and I'm going to put Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, they have speed right now, nowhere close to, still not as close to Harvick like some of these other cats right now after three races right now. But Brad Keselowski, you know, just a no small note, you know, seeing Harvick with all that speed right now, he's in the same manufacturer camp as Harvick and in the same team, obviously, Team Penske with teammates Joey and Ryan. So, kind of, Keselowski did finish in the top 10 yesterday, and of course, the Paul Wolf thing to do, the two team knows how to get off sequence, try to get off sequence like they usually do. Seems like every week they try to do something odd out of the playbook, but this time it did not work with the two team. And you know, Brad, last year, all that talk about, you know, we got to find speed, the Camp 4 camp got to find speed, you know, Toyota's got too much speed. Well, how about this? Your manufacturer teammate Harvick is sticking up a show right now. He has all speed right now. He's hogging up that speed. And so, to me, I mean, Penske, they show some speed, showing some speed here early in the season. So, Keselowski, they were up there last week in Atlanta battling out Harvick, but they're a few tenths off from the Harvick country right now. But Keselowski finished sixth yesterday in this race. I mentioned Kyle Busch in the first half of the episode here tonight that he made a lot of passes, and passes on the high side. They really found something there in the race there, but to come up second, so not the triple that Kyle Busch was hoping for, at least from his standards. As we all know, he wants to win everything, but Kyle Busch, another runner-up spot at his home track, but he has now won with his truck win on Friday night. He has wins in all three divisions at his home track, so that's huge on that spectrum. And big news, even before the green flag even dropped, Blake Harris from the 78 team was suspended last week due to failing their car did not pass inspection 3 times. Car chief is gone. Blake Harris was suspended last week. Here we get 2 more. Ross Chastain's team and Jimmy Johnson. Imagine that. The 48 team get their turn at getting car chief suspended. And the car chief, as I understand, is new to the team. They lost Rod Malik doing some other things now with the organization of Hendrick Motorsports. And a new crew chief getting a taste of suspension there. He was suspended from the race there. And the 48 team, they still have their struggles, even though they finished in the top 15. But man, they were off for pretty much most of that race until they found something late. But still, that 48 team is still off, not even in the ballpark right now. Chad Knaus, during Race Hub, he was panicking a little bit or having the meter cool or panicking, and he's kind of in the middle. But if Chad Knaus right now, he has to be over that midline right now, the way that his car is performing. And everybody thought that, at least most of the people thought that the Camaro would solve problems. I know it's 3 races in, we've seen a little bit better performance from Kyle Larson this time around. Chase Elliott was in the top 10 before he ran into more trouble with the name of Kurt Busch losing all of a sudden his handle to the car, and those two taking each other out of the race there. Chase Elliott was in position for a top 10 finish. That did not happen. Another heartbreaking finish for Chase Elliott. And Kurt Busch was looking for teammate to Harvick an opportunity to build off the finish from last one. I thought he was going to be more of a factor as well, but he didn't have the same speed as of his number one guy, Harvick, did, and he crashed out late as well. Yes, the 48 adventures continue. Jimmy Johnson went a lap down, probably not once, but twice in this race, and he rallied back due to some cautions there. For a top 15, maybe saved them a little bit, but it's clearly known that this 48 team is off. William Byron, you have to rely on teammates like William Byron and Alex Bowman and Chase Elliott continuing to be, which everybody knows this by now, Chase Elliott continues to be week in, week out the best Hendrick Motorsports car week in and week out. Jimmy Johnson, at best, is probably... Alex Bowman was up there running up there with those guys yesterday, so probably at best, I'm not going to put Jimmy Johnson as second best driver because he's not driving like it. I got to put him third, probably behind Alex Bowman or William Byron yesterday. So Jimmy Johnson still, man, you know, if you measure up to these guys, to the young guys of Bowman and Byron, yes, he'd probably be second, but when you put it, the words on the racetrack, action speaks louder than words, and right now the actions say, I would put him third, or I even put him last behind Byron, because Jackenhouse, Jimmy Johnson, something's off. It's clear from last year. You know, they won three races, this, here, this, that, but they were just flat out awful, and they're still awful. Coming off of Vegas, they were nowhere to be found in Atlanta, and they made some appearance, somewhat of a top 15 appearance yesterday, but it's clearly they're not nowhere close to where, not even, they're millions off from where Harvick is right now compared to speed right now. And so I stumbled on a tweet yesterday during the race that they needed, somebody said that Jackenhouse, Jimmy Johnson, they need a crew chief shakeup or whatnot. That has been mentioned a couple. That's not the first time that's been mentioned. It's been mentioned on social media for the last couple years. I know Jimmy Johnson wants that 8th championship so badly, but you know, the comment was yesterday that Darrell Waltrip, Jeff Gordon, or probably mainly DW talked about, you know, age can be a factor, all the above, you know, the race cars and whatnot. But even Chase Elliott, you know, being a top guy he is, he's running about 8th to 10th each and every weekend, except for last year where he went on an absolute tear. But coming out of the box this year, Chase Elliott, he was in contention for the Daytona 500, wrecked out here yesterday, wrecked out thanks to Kurt Busch. And so he's off to the speeds there. But he's having terrible luck, and Jimmy Johnson, he's finishing all the races except for all the Daytona ones. He couldn't finish a thing. He couldn't finish to get $5, if you ask me. But Jimmy Johnson, right now, we keep talking about it, he's off his game clearly, and I don't know. I've been listening to the podcast here lately. There are a lot of people. I'm not going to mention names. There are a lot of people saying that he might not get it back, and I'm starting to have. Or I've been having that feeling now ever since last year where they were not a factor in a round of 8 in the playoffs. So there's something off. Maybe they do need a crew chief swap. I don't know. So that I'm not the owner of the organization. If I was, I might have something else to say. But Jimmy Johnson, a 12th place finish, that is the least of their problems for that camp. They're going to find something. It's early in the season, and no, I know I'm sounding like it's panic mode, but it's been like that ever since he got his third win a season ago. We take a look at the full field rundown from yesterday, starting from the back of the pack. Michael McDowell had a great weekend, but he finished in the 37th spot, and he was showing speed, but that, he had a break with the engine and could not continue. Jamie McMurray once again hit the wall and ended up finishing in the 36th position. And you have Kurt Busch and Chase Elliott. 35th and 34th respectively, after Kurt Busch all of a sudden, like a magic wand, loses his race car and Chase Elliott found the 41 car. Greg Gulding, 33rd. Joey Gase, 32nd. Jeffrey Earnhardt in a 00, 31st. AJ Allmendinger struggled all afternoon long. Allmendinger, 30th. Ross Chastain, he was one of those guys that lost the crew chief, or not crew chief, car chief, over the weekend yesterday, saying that team did not pass the special. So this is a team here, 15 team, they're not high. They're not very high on the team list of guys that, and this is a little bit off the silly side, they're not one of those teams that runs up front every week. So that's no excuse for that 15 team to not pass inspection. So that's shame on them. Cole Witt, 28th. William Byron, after a successful test, apparently, of course, from Vegas. He was one of those guys that tested only to come out 27th in the 24 car. Daniel Suarez had problems late, 26th. Cole Custer ended up finishing in the 25th spot. Cole doing double duty, and that's big for that 51 team coming out there in the 25th position. Ty Dillon, 24th. David Reagan, 23rd. Matt DiBenedetto in a 22nd spot. That's a good for them. They finished a couple laps down, but they finished ahead of some, even though a couple of guys wrecked out, they finished to get ahead of some major players there. So that's kudos to that team. Darrell Wallace Jr., 21st. A good top 25 run for Bubba there. Trevor Bayne finished in a 20th position. 95 of Casey Kane, 19th. Clint Bowyer, a non-factor in this race after having an early issue, coming back 18th. Denny Hamlin was running up front late, and Denny Hamlin adds another speeding penalty to his NASCAR books there. So another speeding penalty. So Denny Hamlin, probably the most driver to speed on pit road in the last several years, and chalk up another one for the 11th, 17th. Alex Bowman, the highest finishing, Jimmy Johnson. Alex Bowman, second in running order due to Hendrick teams. Bowman, 16th. Chris Buescher, an attaboy to the 37 team for JTG Doherty Racing. Teammates to Allmendinger, but nobody talked about Buescher. Buescher coming home, that's solid for that team. Ricky Stenhouse, 14th. Austin Dillon, 13th. Jimmy Johnson, 12th. Ryan Newman, finishing outside the top 10 in 11th position. You're listening to the EG3 Show here with Eddie Greer III. I'm the host of the EG3 Show, breaking down the full field rundown from yesterday's Las Vegas race and another Kevin Harvick ass-whooping. Eric Almirola, 10th. As I started, he started 29th, and he methodically moved his way. He was also a lap down at one point, I believe, but no, he wasn't. I believe he stayed on a lead lap the entire time and finished in the 10th spot. So Almirola quietly, beneath this Harvick talk, domination talk, Almirola starting to do something a little bit in that 10 car, finished in the 10th spot. Paul Menard, easygoing Paul Menard, in a nice spot. Just keep on doing what he's been doing in the Wood Brothers car. Another solid top 10 finish. How about that Jones boy, Eric Jones, in the 8th spot there for Joe Gibbs. Joey Logano tried to do some strategy yesterday again for the second week in a row. Try to go off sequence with the two tires. It held up pretty decently for him, but to come home 7th, so the points leader coming into this race did a solid job, and now he's the only driver to score all top 10 so far this season. Top 10 at Daytona, of course, last week at Atlanta, and it comes here to Vegas in the 7th position. Brad Keselowski, 6th, and the teammates of Penske all together, 5th, 6th, and 7th, topped off by Ryan Blaney, who scored the pole for this race and showed speed throughout the race and didn't fade back like he did last year. Truex, Martin Truex Jr., finishing in the 4th spot. It could have been worse if that caution didn't come out for Chase Elliott and Kurt Busch getting together. Cole Pern being Cole, making the call to stay out while everybody else pits. That was a terrible decision, but bailed out by the caution. And Truex boys, those guys did lucky to do always do, rally back to finish in the top 10. Back-to-back top fives for the 78 team. Larson, third. Kyle Busch, second. And, of course, the Harvicking, the man of the last several weeks, Kevin Harvick, sweeping all the stages and cashing in the jackpot at Vegas with win number two early here in the 2018 season. That is your Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube, full field rundown. Unbelievable stuff right there. So now the question comes, oh, and by the way, I have pit gun issues on my rundown sheet for the evening. It's still an issue. Again, Harvick, again in that conversation, and they managed to get away with it. Daniel Suarez had an issue, and so did the 18 of Kyle Busch. These are top tier, even with Daniel Suarez also. I'll throw him in there. These are some Joe Gibbs Racing and SHR Stuart Haas Racing. These are top tier organizations in our sport having these issues, and I don't like that NASCAR issue their own pit guns to these teams. They continue to have issues. There's been a lot of talks now about teams, you know, wanting to bring their own mounts to the guns so they have no issues at all. I mean, this wasn't really an issue until this year when NASCAR decided to mandate the pit guns to the teams, and so far they're 0-2. So NASCAR, again, like I said last week, they need to figure things out so teams can have an easier time with these pit guns, because if they continue to have these issues, especially when you get to crunch time or late in the season where a team needs a few points here or there to make the playoffs, if that comes an issue, that team's going to be hot. So NASCAR still got to get together on that end and see if they can figure out better ways to provide or give teams the opportunity to bring better equipment to the racetrack. All right, folks, a few more minutes on our reaction episode, here this evening. Eddie Greer III here for the EG3 show. And I want to touch on Clint Bowyer. I want to go back a couple weeks ago to Atlanta. I listened to a podcast, mainly Jeff Gluck podcast, yesterday, trying to catch up on that. On his post-race podcast about Atlanta, and Chris Knight, who was the media person on the podcast for that one, mentioned that he was hot. And I can feel his energy on Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer leaving the post-race conference for whatever reason. I don't know the reason, but it came up to my radar when I was listening to it. I want to talk about that for a few minutes. Clint Bowyer, you know, the second and third plate, the top podium guys, obviously getting, and sometimes they'll have a random driver up there during post-race conferences as well. You know, Clint Bowyer not feeling his duty to stay up there and leaving, doing a Cam Newton and leaving the press conference late. I have a problem with this. I mean, a lot of drivers want to sit up and want the opportunity to sit up and talk to media. In the media, they don't see drivers very often, especially, you know, those that should be up there often, like Clint Bowyer, you know, had a tremendous run last week and then goes into post-race mode and all of a sudden turns into a different person and leaves for whatever reason. I did not see the post-race conference or whatever, but this is an issue of its own self, you know, for whatever reasons or medical reasons or whatever the case may be. I'm not saying that it was emergency, but from what I heard from Chris Knight, he was pissed off that, you know, that you have an opportunity to talk about your day, which was a pretty damn good day, by the way, and then either several minutes in, or I don't know what time they left, but seemed to be kind of just nonchalantly just went ahead and didn't care for the whole world and just left, and the media members were not happy about it, particularly Chris Knight, saying yesterday, when I was listening to it, saying all this other stuff, you know, it was not right and made him upset because we don't get to see him very often, and rightfully so. You know, with the way that Harvick's been running, you think that Kurt Busch, you know, they were running the top 10 until that point with Chase Elliott. Clint Bowyer was nowhere to be found yesterday. Had their issues. Almirola was impressive in his run yesterday, but they weren't yet talked about much as Harvick is, because Harvick right now is running the show and doing it the Kevin Harvick way. And Boyer, he just, for whatever, you just got to do what you got to do and fulfill the time that you're supposed to be up there and not leave. This is not NFL when you just leave whenever you want and showboat and just have one comment, one answer, do a Kyle Busch. Like last year, and we know what he said last year after Charlotte, the Coca-Cola 600. But it's just, this is not the NFL where you just leave wherever you want. The media, they want to see, they do all these stories for a reason. They want to see you, they want to talk to you, especially if you have the dry spell that you're having right now, not getting the victory lane after some six seasons, still not reaching victory lane. So what if you win and not stay up there? So that's a big issue. I think NASCAR drivers, well, all of them are pretty good about that, but you just can't leave wherever you want. So Boyer, you got, even though he's one of the more entertaining guys in the sport, and yeah, rightfully so, because he's very energetic, very entertaining to listen to, very funny, but that's a no-no in my book there. You got to fulfill your time. I've seen my share of press conferences in my time as well. None closer to that, where a guy just goes up there and leaves. But Clint Boyer, fill your time up and just be you, man. Just don't go up there and just leave whenever you want. that should require a fine if you don't stay up there a certain amount of time. I mean, you don't have to stay up there all night. That's not what we're asking. What we're asking is, you know, fulfill your post-race duty, whether it's the podium or whether it's talking to a pit report, whatever's asked you to do, you do it. And you know, you get paid millions of dollars, not quite, you get paid a lot of money, you know, drive a race car. You just can't go up there after the post race conference and sit up there in third place. You should be happy, not sad. I don't understand that. A lot of drivers would like to be in the business you and driving good equipment like Stuart Haas Racing and have an opportunity to compete for top fives like that. But I guess it Karma is a you know what, right? Because Clint Boyer finished in the top 20, so nowhere close to the top 5 in Vegas. So that's my little spill on that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, towards the end of the podcast, yes, it is time for my plug. Yes, I had news. I talked about news earlier that I wanted to share. Yes, we've been talking about it since, you know, doing this. The EG3 show, you can now find it on iTunes. That's the big news of the evening. We are on iTunes, folks. So yes, go subscribe to the EG3 show, download it, and you can listen to reaction episodes from this past week. Find more content on there. The EG3 show, we are moving the train along on this podcast, of course, formerly with KCSportsRadio.com for the last three and a half years, and now we're on iTunes. Big stuff. So go subscribe, listen to it, and you can leave me a rating or questions about the EG3 show on that. So again, iTunes, with the microphone glass, type in the EG3 show. It should pull up. It has all the episodes. Well, not all the episodes, but majority of the episodes, including all of the season so far. Go look for it, subscribe to it, and leave us a rating. EG3 show, join the movement. The movement is alive and well. Very pumped up to see the EG3 show on that. And, of course, you can still listen to the EG3 show via Audio Boom and Spotify. And I promise I'm going to get to SoundCloud as well, upload these episodes on there as well. Shout out to State of Cali, California, baby, was made the listening list this past week. I always check that once a week. In California, some of those cities made the list for those who've been listening to the EG3 show this past week. Big ups to the state of California. I'm not going to mention the names right now, the cities by name, but the state of California, shout out this week to you guys for listening to the EG3 show. Share the podcast. Tell everyone about this podcast, the EG3 show. It's always a work in progress, but the EG3 show, we moving in the trans movement. You want to join the movement with us. EG3 stickers real quick before I sign out here. tonight on the Reaction Podcast. Of course, Truck Series, Brett Moffitt, Stuart Friesen, and Justin Fontaine with that ninth place finish. EG3 Hummus Stickers of the Week. In the Xfinity Series, Christopher Bell, Daniel Hemric, and BJ Brandon Jones, the other Jones boy, gets the EG3 Hummus Sticker this week. And of course, Harvick again with a spanking gets an EG3 Hummus Sticker of the Week. Kyle Busch, and how about I'm going to give my last EG3 sticker, helmet sticker, to the man, Chris Buescher, the 37 team, quietly in the top 15, 15th place finish. That's kudos to that team. EG3 Hummus Stickers of the Week. Moffitt, Fontaine, Friesen, Bell, Hemric, Brendan Jones, Harvick, Rowdy, and Buescher earn EG3 Hummus Stickers this week. And I'm going to leave you with a number of the week. Of course, Kyle Busch wins 50, but the other number of significance, Kevin Harvick scored his 100th win, now joins three others as scoring triple digits in all three National Series, Trucks, Xfinity, and Cup Series. Richard Petty, of course, have 200 wins. Rowdy Busch, Kyle Busch, has 184. David Pearson scored 106. And Kevin Harvick, 100 and counting, if you will, now in the Cup Series, in the road that he's been on. Harvick, in his last probably three appearances in either Xfinity Series and or Cup, going back to Atlanta, where he swept the Xfinity and Cup Series races, and he dominated the Vegas race. He's now won three of the last five racing events, or I should say last three of six. So that's 50% that Harvick has went the victory lane. So the bigger question is, can anybody step up and challenge Harvick, especially at Phoenix coming up, even though he did not win a year ago at that racetrack? He has an opportunity to do a rare win three in a row. Will that saga continue? Gonna have to find out and wait until this weekend. But that four team right now is on rails, and nobody is not even close to him. Probably that top five that I named off during that rundown, they're gonna have some work to do if they're gonna figure out how to way to catch off the freaky fast Harvick. EG3 show, the garages are closed. The EG3, ladies and gentlemen, is a wrap for the Reaction Podcast from Las Vegas. Again, the big story coming out of this week is Kevin Harvick again smoking the competition with another dominant performance here in 2018. And right now, Harvick again has a stranglehold on the stage points. He has 13 total. And I'm going to leave you with the point standings right now. Coming out of Vegas after race one of the West Coast Swing right now as it pulls up. Harvick, your points leader. And he is the new points leader now. Logano came into Vegas with the points lead. He leaves second out of the Vegas. Harvick leads Logano by 3, followed by Blaney in third. And you have MTJ in fourth and Kyle Busch, 31 back of Harvick, the points leader, regular season points leader, heading to Harvick's favorite racetrack, Phoenix. So we're going to see what happens there. Stay tuned. Will the Harvick saga continue? Going to have to find out here this weekend when we hit race two of the West Coast Swing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it for the EG3 show this evening. Reaction episode from Vegas. My name is Eddie Greer, saying thanks again for listening to the EG3 show, where Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, and Kevin Harvick, all winners this weekend from Vegas. And the big question now, who can catch the four car again? We're talking about this again, the Harvicking. Kevin Harvick does the Harvicking on the field yet again. EG3 show on iTunes. Subscribe, download it. And Katie Nolan, I was listening to one of your podcasts earlier, and don't steal my line. EG3 show, garage is closed. And Katie Nolan again, don't take my line. We out.